Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Take Command podcast. Craig Hoffman, Logan Paulson, and a film review of a Commanders playoff win. Love to see it, Logan. You were there. How was it being there on the sideline?
Yeah, love to see it, man. And I think the cool thing about it was just the amount of fans that were there. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but there was a ton of Washington fans there. Like, we're doing the post-game show. We're on the sideline. They're trying to close the stadium down. They're shutting the lights off, and people are going crazy. They're chanting stuff out. Like, they're singing songs. And it just was a great atmosphere and, really just a fantastic moment for the fan base, quite honestly.
Yeah, it seemed like it. On TV, you could hear the Terry yeah. chants. You could also hear, like, there's a couple times that some penalties went Washington's way or some calls did, and the cheers made it seem like it was a Washington home game because it's like, oh, that's going the way that we want, says the crowd that isn't supposed to be cheering for that team. Probably going to be a very different atmosphere Saturday night in Detroit. That is a ravenous, rabid fan base that is probably not going to have as many tickets available for Washington fans to snatch up. But I'm sure the burgundy and gold will be well represented as well as they can be on Saturday night because, yeah, they won. That means they have another game. We'll preview that one on Thursday, but let's dive in to the film review, Logan. And we're gonna get to some stuff that needs to be improved upon in order to level up and get this next win as we go here. The run game, obviously, on defense. We'll talk about what happened with Marshon Lattimore and a couple other things that we noticed watching the tape. But we actually want to start today going through an entire drive, and hopefully this won't take 3 hours to do because it felt like this drive was 3 hours long. The second drive of the game for the Washington offense was a 17-play drive ending in a touchdown to Diami Brown. And we're going to go roughly play-by-play through it. Some plays will get more attention than others because I think it illustrates a lot of not only what the offense was able to do on Sunday, but we think it illustrates a lot of what Jaden Daniels was able to do on Sunday. So, Logan, any big picture thoughts on this drive before we dive in?
Yeah, I think just it's a big picture thought for this drive, but also a big picture thought for this game. I think, and it's sometimes so easy to fall into these kind of derivative, narratives, but I do think it's just incredibly important. And this drive illustrates it perfectly, is third and fourth down efficiency and what that allows you to do as a team. I think that's something to keep in mind for this entire analysis, but for this game specifically, because I think this is the formula you're going to need to do, engage in to beat the Detroit Lions, for example, right? Possess the football, right? Maintain control of the ball and limit possessions for that offense. And I think they did a great job of that. And again, this drive is a perfect illustration of that.
For sure. And it's another drive or one of a few in this game where there weren't these big, huge explosive plays. And they had some in this game for sure. But there's a couple of these drives that are 10 plus plays. They had 5 10 plus play drives in the game. And they didn't have big explosive plays during some of them. They just matriculated the ball down the field and were able to kill a bunch of clock, keep Tampa's offense off the field, which is a good thing, as we'll get to later, because Baker actually had a pretty good day. Problem is, he didn't have a very voluminous day. All right, so this drive starts at 3:34 to go in the first quarter, Logan. It starts on a screen to Terry McLaurin. It's just a 2-yard gain. Anything stand out to you about this play?
I think this is kind of maybe indicative of a larger theme throughout the game. We're going to talk about this more specifically, but like the fact that they could not run the football, I really like that Cliff kind of had some of these other play designs, and we'll talk. There's a ton of them, and there, a lot of them are on this drive. But I just, as something for a fan to think about, like you think about the screen to Austin Ekeler, which happens later in this drive. You think about this, the kind of that little dump off over Yaya Diaby. Again, it kind of all stems from the fact they couldn't run the football. But I think having a plan in place that was very apparent and very clear to kind of find those hidden yards if they couldn't run the football, I think was awesome by Cliff. And I think, again, this was not a huge play, but it, to me, it was indicative of a mindset, which I thought was pretty important.
For sure. The other thing I'll say is this is, if you can run a bad route on a screen, Terry ran a bad route here. If he gets a little bit more outside and comes back in, sets up the blocks better. Then, and this is something that I think is also a theme when you watch like Diami Brown run screens and why he's so good at it compared to other players. Like the ability to set up your blocks both before you catch the ball and then once you have it is a huge difference maker. And for as great as Terry is just in open space running through people or running away from people, stiff arming people, if he can set this up, this thing is out for like 20, 30 yards. Like it's there, but he doesn't get past the first guy because he kind of puts Bates in a bad spot. That's just, you know, a little detail that I'm always attuned to on screens. But I'm sure they'll point it out to him, and maybe next time he'll set it up and be gone. Next play is kind of also a screenish looking play. It's a little halfback swing. They do a little fun action with the offensive line. There was a ton of this in this game, by the way. That's probably worth mentioning here. Like some of the stuff they did with the offensive line to just like, let's fake a pitch and then roll right. Let's move the offensive line to the left and then have Jaden roll right because the whole entire rush follows the offensive line. There's all these little things that Cliff did in this game to try to combat the blitz heaviness of Todd Bowles. But ultimately, this is just a quick game, swing out to Brian Robinson for another 2 yards.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a quick game. To me, this is like a kind of a pseudo pop pass,
quick decision,
right?
I should say.
Yeah, it's a quick decision for sure. But it's like a pop pass. So you're pulling the backside. So it's, you kind of got the tight ends on the offensive right. You're pulling the guard on the offensive left. And when you do that, you get that Will linebacker, that backside linebacker to kind of crash because he's got to fit the front side A. And so what you're doing is you're faking the pitch. You're trying to work Zach Ertz across the field on like some type of crossing route. And again, it gets a little bit of it's a little bit muddy. And the other thing about this is the protection's always a little bit dicey because when you pull that backside guard, you're really leaving a tackle kind of one-on-one. And you're asking a center to push through if there's any type of movement, right? Any type of blitz. And so they do bring a blitz on this. And I think it's really just a testament to Jaden Daniels and really kind of the sneaky good performance that he had throughout to kind of, hey, I'm getting pressure here. It's not picked up. I'm not going to freak out. I'm just going to dish the ball out to Brian Robinson. And again, not taking a negative play here is huge because it gets you to third and six, which is really important. And I understand you're trying to work this crossing route, which could be an explosive play or a chunk play, but understanding what's happening and then kind of keeping your composure, getting the ball out. Really, like, I know this seems like we're maybe making a mountain out of a molehill, but these are the types of moments and decisions that are absolutely huge in this game. And everyone talks about Jaden Daniels kind of keeping his composure. And to me, this is a perfect example of that, right? Like how easy would it have been for him to take a sack here? Very easy. Stall this drive out, get the ball back to Tampa Bay. They drive the length of the field and score because they're going to get great field position. They're going to punt this football from probably their own end zone, get the ball at the 50, and you're more likely to score when it's a half field. So really just – love this, love the process, and decision-making by Jaden Daniels.
Also, he checked the ball down quite a bit in this game, and that's something that earlier in the year he didn't really do a whole lot. He just run, and he certainly ran in this game as well, but there's also a fair amount of times that he's just like, I got nothing, but I do have a back over there. Let me get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Third and six, their first third down of this drive. They're in 11 personnel, but they spread it out pretty good. They're in a 4-by-1, and Zach Ertz is initially held, as he was a lot in this game. I don't know why. I guess if you're Levante David and you're a potential future Hall of Famer, you're just allowed to hug the tight end when he comes at you 5 yards, 10 yards up the field. But there's no one really open initially. Jaden takes on some pressure from his left side, and he flushes and just buys time until Zach Ertz can get himself free. Zach does a good job of coming across the field, 9-yard gain on a second reaction type of play, and first down Washington.
Yeah, and I think this is, again, kind of a lot of things going on here. One, the game Yaya Diaby had, man, he's going to be a problem in the NFL for a long time.
He's so
just
good.
He's such a powerful rusher. You know, I think he weighs 270 pounds, and it shows up, right? You get guys where they get hands on him, but he's kind of working through contact, and really just a great job. And then, you know, Jaden feels that pressure from Yaya, is able to get out of the pocket. Kalijah Kancey kind of falls down, you know, kind of while he's engaged with Wiley. And again, that's, again, what makes him special is, like, usually that's not a fatal flaw for the defense because Kalijah Kancey's still in a position where he can contain the pocket. But Jaden gets out, and I think this is maybe the number one difference between the first game and the second game, in addition to a myriad of other decisions. But Jaden's breaking the pocket, and this is a play where he would have scrambled earlier in the season. And I think you saw Tampa Bay just be hyper aware. Like, every single play, there was some type of spy, some type of zone defender with eyes on the quarterback. And so he's not going to get a lot of yards here. And they're doing a great job of pursuing. But for him to kind of keep his composure, keep his vision down the field, and find Zach late over the middle. And again, when he threw this football, I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a pick. Because anytime you're running, sprinting to your right and throwing back to the middle, it's very rare that that goes well for anybody. But just how open Zach is, I think, you know, like watching it on film, you're like, oh, like this was going to be completed kind of no matter what. But right. This is, again, illuminates a larger point, I think, from the game, because he does this on this play. He does it on a 2nd and 8 where it's like cover 2, gets out of the pocket, eyes down the field. He finds Diaby for an explosive play. Like, this was a huge difference. I think there was probably 3 or 4 times this happened in the game, but really, like, when this happened, you're like, they got a shot. When he made this third down conversion, he got a shot, and it's really kind of a heroic play by him. So great job by him. And again, kind of illuminating the value of the third down conversions and possessing the football in this game.
The roll right, throwback left has come back into, okay, maybe it's not the worst thing ever the last couple of years for a very small number of guys. And I feel like Mahomes was kind of the first guy. I mean, Josh Allen has taken this thing to a whole new level. He like leads the league in throws within crazy. 1 yard of the sideline. Yeah. Like, they track that stuff, and his numbers are crazy. Lamar has gotten to be one of those guys where he just buys time. Am I going to step out of bounds? No. Oh, there's someone. Bang. And if Jaden can become one of those guys, holy crap, with what he can do as a runner plus what he can do as a passer extending plays, like, look out. And that's why I think he's already a top 10 quarterback in the league. Next play. Very simple, but very effective. RPO slant to Terry McLaurin. It's a run pass option. He sees that the linebacker go after the run, pulls it out, darts Terry, 18 yards, bang, bang. Here's your one explosive play of the drive.
Yeah, and I think this is, again, like a testament to Cliff and some of the stuff he was doing that's a little different. We talked about the screen to Terry initially. And this, right, they ran this play twice. The second one was called for a legal man downfield. But I like this, right? I like what we're doing here. We've run a lot of RPO, or the team's run a lot of RPO this year, but usually it's back. So the formation strength is to the right here, the tight end's to the right. Usually you're running it back to the left. So, like, you're running the back across and you're throwing it, you know, a slant, or you're throwing, you know, an under, like a 5 yard in away from the action of the run. Here, like, this is something that, like, Wake Forest does a lot. Where you kind of have the action come downhill, and you're reading the same side linebacker, right? You're reading the linebacker to the strength of the run. And this reminds me a lot of, like, drift or strike that Kyle used to run, and Kyle still runs quite a bit off of play action. It's just a different way to get to it. And it's really like a well-designed play, and talking about understanding your opponent and kind of adding a little bit of a wrinkle. And again, so do they run RPO? Yes. Have they run RPO before? Sure. Have they run it like this? Not really. And so, to kind of make this tweak, say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to affect this linebacker, and this is how we're going to ensure this throwing window, I thought was just a really nice wrinkle that kind of added a ton of value in this game, specifically on this drive. So, again, when people say, oh, what was the game plan? What were some things that Cliff did that were different? I think this is a really good example of that. And obviously, it leads to an explosive play for Terry, because it's really an easy, it's a deleveraged throw for the quarterback. He's still got to make a decision because it's an RPO, but it's a deleveraged throw for the quarterback. And Terry does a great job making this play, but the window's huge, you know, and it's because of the action that they're getting from the pulling guard, the back downhill. Really nice design.
Another way also to get your guy a touch, and they did a really good job of this game throughout to make sure that Terry was heavily involved. Next play, a little duo action, B-Rob, 4 yards.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot to say about this. I mean, this was like a kind of a little bit of a slog game, you know, for the running attack, quite frankly. And it was something that I think we talked about on the preview show. right? Like, this was going to be tough sledding. And this is not true duo. This is a zone read. They're reading this backside end. And so when you get in these looks, like, because of how they've spaced it, sometimes it's hard for, so like basically what you're doing is you're accounting for the defensive end with the quarterback, right? The read action in the backfield, right?
Right.
And so you're blocking him with the action, but you still have to make sure you're blocking like the Will linebacker or that safety with the tight end. And sometimes because the angles are a little bit weird, you get free runners in the hole. And that happened a couple times for B-Rob on these where you're reading the end, the read is that you give it, but the secondary block or the guy that's blocking the alley defender here, who's John Bates, can't quite get to that player, and it ends up being just a car crash in the hole. And so I think a lot of people are like, oh, is B-Rob okay? What's going on? But I think it's important to acknowledge that zone read was a huge element of this game from a run game standpoint.
Yeah.
And you're going to get free runners in the hole potentially, right? Sometimes you get gashes, but sometimes you get messy looks. And I felt like B-Rob ran into a bunch of just messy looks in this game, and he ran physically. Like, to his credit, he put his head down and was very physical at contact. But this is one of the drawbacks, in my opinion, of the zone read, is you are removing people from the blocking surface, or you're making angles hard for people. And this, to me, is a great example maybe of a larger system we're going to talk about here with the rushing attack, where it's not as effective as maybe it could be for the runner, but it gives you a two-way go. So the whole or the sum of the parts is maybe more effective long term.
For sure. But the good, you know, you can do all kinds of things off a zone read. And by having duo here, you got a pair of double teams, you actually get some movement. So at least this is a 4-yard gain. There's a lot of like where the run on the front side is like an inside zone. It's a lot of 1-on-1 blocks or something like that. And they get no movement and it's a 0-yard gain. So at least they got 4 here. Hooray.
Yeah.
Next play is technically a rush. 16 seconds left is now where we are. 2nd and 6. They have pony personnel in. Austin Eckler catches like a little swing screen. It's actually a backwards pass, and this is technically the longest rush of the game, and it wasn't even a handoff. It was a lateral. But Eckler is able to make a move. Big block from Alameda Zacchaeus here. Springs Eckler for 12.
Yeah, and really, I love the play design here. We've seen this backfield set before where they're kind of in this split back and they motion one guy away and then they run to where the motion guy just vacated. Excuse me. And I just think this is really just a nice little wrinkle. You know, like they're not going to adjust to motion. And this feels like something you saw on film, quite honestly, right? Like where they're going to keep the guys in the box. We talked about how they want to stop the run. This is 2nd and 6. This is still like a run stopping down for the defense, but just a great, just simple play design. And again, the execution is what makes it come to life. I'm really glad you mentioned the OZ block because, you know, I don't think Coleman's going to block Debo is the guy that I call him 45. I played with him in Atlanta. Can't remember.
Oh, Deion Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Deion Jones. There we go. But so, you know, great job by him springing this run, and it's just it's a little misdirection, and again, speaks to the larger principles. Like, we can't run the football super effectively, but here's a screen that's going to get us 15, and it's another kind of chunk on this drive, which is awesome. So love the design, love the execution, and again, this kind of speaks to maybe something that is underrated to me is the guys really own the game plan in a nice way this week. You know, like the timing was good, the spacing was good on a lot of these kind of newer plays. And again, having installed new plays at the NFL level and in high school, sometimes it doesn't go super well, right? Guys, like, they don't know all the details. And so to see it come to life like this, I thought was pretty cool.
12 yards there, 13 yards to open the second quarter on a really kind of nifty play. Again, this is one of the ones that we referenced earlier. They fake a pitch left, and the whole pocket moves left with it. And so they just kind of run the offensive line to the left and then let Jaden come out to the right. And they run kind of what I would call like a flood concept. They just flood the right side of the field against the zone. Do a good job of covering it, do the Bucks. But that means if everybody's covering deep, there's some room shallow. He dumps it off to B-Rob. Brian runs for 13 yards.
Yeah, this is one that I've always tried to get installed at the high school level. Like, I think this is a great play. So basically what this is just, it's like, imagine, like, I usually call this like a keeper. Imagine you fake your run to the left, right?
Yeah.
And you just kind of like a pitch to left, or you fake a handoff left, and the offensive line runs left, and then the tight end kind of seals an edge, and then you work around to the edge. But if you look at it, there's actually no run fake. It's just Jaden Daniel kind of posting up in the pocket, and then the back runs to the right, and you're like, nothing about this should say, hey, like, go left. But the offensive line sprinting kind of gets the linebackers to move. And then I love that this is like John Bates here on the perimeter, and he just walls the end down. And it's really just a I love this because I think it's great. Because if they're going to blitz a lot, if they're going to bring a lot of rundown pressure, right, like – screw you. Let's get out of the pocket. Let's move this, move the launch angle. And I love how this sets up because they do get under the flood. They do get under the concept. They're bringing like a guy in a crosser over the middle of the field. They're running a corner to the same side. So you get like a three level throw and the backs to the flat, but there's nobody there. So even if Jaden Daniels wanted to run here, this becomes a run or a throwing opportunity. It's definitely set up to be a pass, but I love the flexibility it gives you. And I love how it deleverages the quarterback. Like, we talked about the RPO, talked about the screens. Like, great job by Cliff being like, hey man, you're gonna have to make a lot of plays in this game to Jaden. Let's see if we can give you some easy ones. And this feels like just a really well-designed, well-executed, easy one. And I think, like, this again goes back to my other point. Talk about owning the game plan. Like, John Bates could have easily screwed this up. B-Rob could have easily screwed this up because it's new. They haven't done this before. But they do an excellent job executing. Jaden does a great job getting the perimeter. And then doesn't it feel like when he gets outside the pocket, you're just like, ah, like this is an easy down for him, right? And I think that's the beauty of
there's just not enough numbers on the defense. Yeah. Like, if you cover all these crossers in the corner and the flat, then there's no one left for him. And so you have to make choices as a defense, and none of the choices are good. You're trying to pick the least of the evils, and perhaps giving up a 13-yard gain on a dump off to a running back is the least of the evils on this play once the other stuff has been executed and Bates is actually able to seal the edge, especially considering they were in a zone coverage. So, you know, you got guys that are kind of sitting out on the backside doing nothing because there's nobody over there anymore. They're chasing at best, but they're not in position to really make plays on the guys that they needed to at that point. Next play is a 5-yard run for B-Rob outside. They actually got some good push on this. A few times in the game, they got really good movement up front.
This is like the RPO look, right? And again, when you're doing an RPO, the linebacker feathers to the pass concept, but there's going to be an unblocked dude in the hole. So credit to B-Rob. Stick your face in there. Get four. Like, a lot of physical, kind of messy runs for him. So again, like, I know he had averaged like 1.2 yards a carry or whatever it was, 1.6 yards a carry. But when you watch his runs, you see that it's not always going to be easy for him. And I think he did a good job being physical, basically.
Yeah, so they get down there. They're kind of in the green zone at this point. They're in just outside the red zone. And second and five, and now we're 13:53 to go in the second quarter. They come out in 13 personnel on this one. So they got three tight ends in the game, but they line Zach up in the slot. So it kind of plays like a 12 personnel type of alignment with Terry outside. The tight ends, the tight tight ends, if you will, Sinnott and Bates, they release vertical up the field. And Tampa just does a good job of covering this. And B-Rob actually winds up lining up wide. And he kind of delays a slant route inside, just kind of waits to see if all the coverage is going to leave, and then tries to come inside. And I think it's Levante David does a really good job of sitting on it and blows up B-Rob right as he catches it. So it's just a 2-yard game, but a cool design here that absolutely, you know, I get the point. Just sometimes Tampa did a really good job on some cool designs defensively in this game.
Well, Tampa's a good defense, but I also think like great job like reading it out. You know, like it would have been so easy to try and force something down the field and hey, like throw it to B-Rob underneath and live to play another day. And I think like that's the other thing. We talked about this earlier with the screen to Terry, which went for two. I forget the little swing pass to B-Rob, which went for two. Like there is value to not taking negative plays. Like and I think that's something that like it's always in your mind when you're calling plays, when you're playing offense, but seeing it executed like this, because again, you go from second and five to third and three. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but third and three is much easier than third and five, right? And you can kind of call whatever you want to do, right? You can say, we're going to run the ball again. We're going to throw a screen. It gives you some flexibility. And so in a game like where every possession, every play matters, like not taking a negative play here, I think is extremely important. And it speaks to, again, the ability of Jaden Daniels to read stuff out. Like, quite frankly, like people always say, oh, he's a tremendous runner. But I think the other thing that comes out of this game, and it's been coming up every week since week one, pretty much, is his ability to make good decisions for the offense. And, you know, Lamar Jackson was talking about the difference in this playoff performance between last year and this year, and like what changed for him. And he's like, I just realized like I need to just keep the offense on schedule when we're in a playoff game. Every possession's important. And it's cool to watch Jaden seemingly understand that already. And that's, I think that's a pretty special moment. And again, this is just a, it's a 2 yard slant, so I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but understanding like, hey, can't take a sack. We're in the red zone. Got to get the ball out. This is a fine play is good to see that maturity from the quarterback.
And you see, like, for instance, last night, Minnesota, Darnold takes all these sacks and I mean, he's in tough sledding. The offensive line and the pressure package from LA was great, but like you see how damaging those plays are, and to avoid them, you know, can get you this. So next play is when Jaden gets absolutely destroyed. He runs that quarterback sweep. Cosme's out in front, gets some good push. Diami just can't quite seal the edge. And then 27 comes flying out of nowhere. And probably pretty lucky to not pick up a unnecessary roughness penalty here, because it's right on the sideline and it's hit on a quarterback. I did think it was legal, so I guess good job by the refs. But man, this to me is the biggest cartoon shot that Jaden's taken so far this year. We saw a couple of those at LSU, but they can't quite get the first down, which sets up a fourth and one.
Yeah, and again, like, this is a testament to Tampa Bay, I think, too. And, like, the kind of defense you're dealing with, you talked about how B-Rob's having a hard time running the football. They are a fast, physical group, man. They played really well, I thought. And this is a good example of that, because, like, numbers-wise, you should be okay here in terms of how it's blocked up. You've got a bunch of receivers on the perimeter. You got a bunch of down blocks. You got a guy pulling. You should be able to get it, right? But, again, testament to and we talked about this in the previous show. It was going to be hard to run the ball, right, even with quarterback design stuff. And credit to Todd Bowles, man. That was a poor point of emphasis for them. But I think it's also cool to kind of see how Cliff and the offense was able to adjust. And this is the fun stuff to me, right? Like, this didn't go the way you want it to go, but ultimately you're able to hit it. And I do think he stepped out of bounds, and it is a bang bang play, so I'm glad they didn't call it, but I think they could have called it if they wanted to. But yeah, glad Jaden's okay, man. He took a shot on this.
Yeah, this one was a big one. Next play, very cool zone redesign, but also just a hell of a finish by Austin Ekeler on this run. There's kind of a run stunt up front, and Logan Hall becomes wide open in the hole, if you will, just unblocked, and he meets Austin Ekeler, and Austin Ekeler meets him. So this is the one where Ekeler motions back into the backfield. Jaden gives it on the zone read, and Ekeler just bowling balls himself forward for a yard, barely, but it's fourth and one. That's all he needed. And it goes back to like, hey, if B-Rob doesn't get those 2 yards on that slant, like if you don't get every inch on the previous play, and this is like a fourth and three, who knows if they have the same play call, you know, who knows if the previous play call is the same, but if it all is, you don't get it if it's not fourth and exactly the amount that it was. But good job by Austin to finish here. And I think this was a very cool play call too. It just, you know, Tampa had a good response, and luckily 1 yard was all you needed.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You do like a jet motion to the backfield, so you get an empty check from Tampa Bay, and then they can't check back to their base stuff, which is great. So I really like the design. But yeah, we could talk about the design you want, but like, players got to make plays, and I think this is a play where Austin Ekeler makes it happen, right? Like, I remember watching it from the sideline and being like, oh shoot, like they're not gonna pick it up, because you see the dude right in the hole. And
yeah. And by the way, just an incredibly ballsy call from Dan Quinn, because the first drive ends on a fourth down in the same area where they don't get it. And so to have the faith to go for fourth down again here on the second drive, are you really going to have your first two drives end on a turnover on downs? And he's like, I don't care. This is who we are. This is how we got here. Like, let's go.
Well, I also think it's like, it's good process. I understand like identifying and staying with your identity. And maybe this is something we could talk about more specifically. And I don't know if this now is the time to do it, but the being aggressive in a game like this, you have to do it, right? Because I do think that that offense for Tampa Bay, if given more bites at the apple, probably makes your defense's day really challenging, and you probably lose the football game. So you have to possess the football. There's no, it's more binary than like take the points or not. Like, you have to possess the ball longer than they do to keep your defense off the field. And I think even here, right, this is an interesting kind of thought experiment. Like, essentially turning the football over here is like a kickoff. You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially what it is. So it's not devastating. You're not putting your defense in a terrible field position, right? You're not like turning down a punt, for example. So again, like, I like that he's staying aggressive. I like that you know, we're possessing the ball, we're giving our offense time to score. Because ultimately in a game like this, touchdowns are going to win it for you. And I think that's something important to keep in mind.
For sure. And they'll eventually get there, but a couple of bad plays first. Well, good play first. On the, let's see, where are we at on this silly drive? Oh, this was actually a cool play. First and 10, now we're at 12:02 to go after Eckler gets it. They run kind of that similar swing screen action. Like, remember the second play of this drive, 8,000 plays ago, where they run that little swing action out to B-Rob with a blocker out in front. Except for they do this out of pony personnel this time. So they have two backs in the backfield. Eckler then leads up, and it's like a QB draw basically for Jaden. And they're able to actually generate some yardage in the run game here, 7 yards, and get down to 2nd and 3.
Yeah, it's not like a quarterback draw. It is a quarterback draw.
Yeah.
And it's
fair enough, Logan. Fair enough.
And they've tried to run this a ton this year. They've tried to run it probably 6 times, and it's never hit. Like, they're always kind of ready for it. So to see it hit so clean and, like, just nice and get 7 yards, I thought was great. You know, Jane's not taking a huge hit. He gets down at the end of it. Great block by Austin. But, you know, good job by Cliff. Again, we got, it's first down. How are we going to run the football? This is a great example. We've got a couple screens on this drive. We've got a couple, you know, like that boot pass. But here's another way, kind of a different way, to run the football, get 7, and again, put yourself in a good situation to get a second and manageable, third manageable.
Next play, they run like a quick game, try to hit Terry on a slant. Probably not the right throw here. This one's just like a trust throw, I guess, where Jaden almost predetermines where he's going to go, and it gets broken up. Probably had Zach or Diami if he looks elsewhere, but this happened so fast, I don't know if it's fair to even criticize the decision. I don't know if there's a read here.
It's man coverage, so like basically to the man side, you get double slants, which I actually like. I like throwing man routes, man slants to Terry, right? And then the spot concept is over to the field. So spot to me is you get a flat, you get a corner, and you get a 5 yard sit. And so we run the hell out of spot, and we're very good at it, but it's better versus zone, right? Because you're getting basically like the flat player matches the flat. The hook player has to push through to the spot, and the safety's carrying the corner, right? So you get this nice window to throw the spot, and Jaden's got such a quick release, the ball's out. So to me, it's like, this is pre-snap, it's man coverage, spot's
I'm
dead.
I'm throwing to Terry.
I'm gonna throw to Terry, who's my man coverage player. And so, great coverage here, honestly. Like, and this is kind of a good battle to watch all day in terms of coverage. Terry, and who's this? Is this Dean here? I can't
even see the number. I think this one was Dean.
But yeah, that was a really great battle. And again, like, this ball, could it be a better ball? Maybe. But again, coverage is tight. Man coverage, work the man side. They win some too.
Yep. Didn't win the next one. It's now 3rd and 3. They run like a mirrored concept on both sides. There's some return routes. Zach's running one of them. OZ's running one of them. OZ's open. Jaden's looking at OZ. Bang, puts the ball right on him. 6 yards, first down.
Dude, I love this play. Like, it's a 3 yard play, and it's just like one of those plays. It's just like, this is awesome. And it's so simple, right? So they got like a little zone player, right? But he's spying the quarterback, Deion Jones, right? He's spying the quarterback. And so I love that Jaden just stares him down in his drop, because he understands that he's not going to push. He's like, that's my guy, basically, right? And then I love how OZ, on his release, pushes outside of Diami, right? Pushes outside of him to force his man-to-man player to play over the top. So right when he plays over the top, he can then stick his foot in the ground, play back inside, and he's now created a natural window. So great job by Jaden understanding the coverage, and great job by OZ running just a really detailed route, very savvy route, and in a situation where it's going to be hard to pick up the first down, 3rd and 3, kind of tough. Just the route and the understanding by the quarterback just make it easy. And it really was like I just love good football plays, and this is just great execution by the receiver. Great job by Diami pushing vertical. A lot of times receivers will like bail inside on this release, like they'll work to the ball too much and you lose the pick. But Diami stays nice and vertical, so it lets OZ kind of set him up, use him as a pick. Lots of really good stuff on this play. And this is a play that they love down here in the red zone on 3rd and 3. It's one of their base kind of day one install plays. They run in 3rd and short, and you see why. Like, they're just good at it. And it's great to see, like, all of those reps you've accumulated over the course of the year in a big moment in a game come to fruition.
So the touchdown winds up being a very cool play design as well. But first, we got two options that don't really go anywhere. A zone read give for B-Rob on the first and goal from the 8. Yeah, this one's messy. I actually wonder if Jaden tried to pull this late and he just couldn't get it out of B-Rob's grasp. He looks like, because if he pulls it here, I think there's a chance, but he gives it to B-Rob, and B-Rob kind of just realizes there's nowhere to go, stops his feet. He probably just needs to press this thing and go, but like, he's running into a brick wall, so I get it.
Yeah, this is just a tough look, because like, basically it's like, this is where the defensive coordinator, his film study has come into play, basically. Like, anytime you can tell, like, so basically what they do here, which is good by Tampa Bay, is they walk both the outside linebacker up to the strength and the nickel player up, or the weak side of the run, and they walk the nickel player up to the tight end side. So if you do run a zone read, you're reading the defensive end, the tight end's blocking the nickel player, but then there's a safety that's, I'm not kidding, at like 5 yards. So if Jaden does pull it, there's still a force player and there's a guy that's going to come down and make the tackle. So like, really, he should hand this off. But because of how they've just mathed it up defensively, it's like, there's nowhere to go. There's no right way versus zone read. And you can tell, like, again, this play has been really good for us. It's been really good for us in the red zone. It's been the Commanders, I'm saying. And so that you can tell Tampa Bay was like locked in on that. And like, they were locked in throughout the game. Like the first, I think it was the first fourth down, they brought like a pressure that would, in my mind, beats zone read, right? They just were really aware of it throughout the game. And great job by Kliff kind of saying, hey, they've got a good plan for this. Let's get out of this. Let's find something different and kind of keep it moving. But good job by Tampa Bay here of kind of saying, this is who Washington wants to be.
Yeah, and on second down, they're like, all right, fine. Well, what if we add a third option? They run a triple option here. Jaden,
which I actually liked based on that last look. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally. And so Jaden pulls it, gets out, and he probably, like, this is a bad read because it just, like, getting strung out is the last thing you want on triple option. You don't want to just get run
look
to the sideline.
Look at you, Craig. That's great. We're at a coaching clinic right now. That's like number one on the board. Don't get strung out. Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know nothing. I don't know as much as you, but I don't know nothing. And so really what has to happen here is either Jaden needs to pitch this thing early before 27, who's kind of Austin's guy, commits, or once he commits, you just have to trust that he's not going to tackle you. They're like, you have the edge, even though there's a guy outside of you, because he's covering the pitch man. And Jaden instead just kind of keeps running laterally, and this thing goes absolutely nowhere. In fact, it goes backwards for a -2.
Yeah, it's a tough look, and for a lot of the reasons you just talked about. But just when you look at the math, right, because of how it's blocked up, basically 21, I think, is the guy's number. I can't really see it. But he's the corner safety, to that side. So he, or the safety, whoever that guy is, he's actually the pitch guy, right? By on paper, the way you draw it up. I'm reading the defensive end. I'm pitching off that corner, right? But because it's man coverage, 27 just rips across the field. And 21, the safety, has John Bates in man-to-man coverage. But John Bates is not going to block that guy, right? Because of the math we just talked about. There's a read guy, the defensive end, and a pitch guy. And by adding to the math, we've basically said now there's two pitch guys, because the man coverage player, number 27, is across the formation and is over there. So even if he does pull it, and if he does like kind of do that fake pitch and get up in the crease,
just
there,
bury his head in there. I don't know if he gets still, to the end zone, but it's probably a 0 instead of a -2, which,
yeah, there's, know, whatever. But I'm saying, like, just the math doesn't math on this because of the man coverage.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because if I'm Kliff and I'm watching this thing back, I'm like, hey, Bates, leak into the leak. Like, there's a throw potential here because Bates is wide open.
But I now, think that's something that looking Detroit's got to deal with now. Detroit's got to deal 100%. With this now.
Right. And we've seen a version of that. I'm trying to remember which day. It was a fourth down conversion. Maybe Atlanta. I don't remember which.
They've done it a lot. Like, they've done a version of that a lot this year. They've done it with Terry. They did it. It was basically Terry, Zach's had one, Sinnott's had one. Like, they've done versions of it. So I definitely think that's something. After seeing this, I'd probably run the same motion if they're in man coverage and be like, hey, Bates, what's up? Because that dude's going to fall off and you get an easy completion there. But yeah, I think that's
putting your offensive coordinator in your favor. If they cover Bates, then the math's back in your favor on the run. And if they don't cover Bates, well, then you have a wide open tight end in the end zone for a touchdown.
The problem, like, if you want to, this is the great thing about designing plays, Craig, is that you're basically blocking it like you would an RPO, but you're also blocking a run. So if you don't call it an RPO, like, if you call an RPO, you're running the risk, because it's a long developing route, a corner, for offensive linemen to be down the field. So you have to kind of be of two minds. You're either going to coach the offensive line to do something differently, not get a legal man downfield, or you're just going to say, hey, we're just going to call this a boot, right? Where Austin's the flat player, I'm going to kind of be in this fake pitch relationship, and Bates is going to be on a corner. It's kind of like like your special play in the red zone, basically, you know? And if they cover it, great, just throw it away. We'll live to play another day.
It's a great call. It's a great point. All the details, they matter. By the way, RPO called back later in the game because Wiley got downfield. That was a slow developing pull. Normally, Jaden's lightning quick with those. But anyway, whatever. Last but not least, 30 minutes later, after we started breaking down this drive, Logan, we have reached the end. The touchdown to Diami Brown, where he is wide open over the middle of the field. Really great design here. And I think part of this is, like, I think they know what Tampa wants here. They're at the 10-yard line. They know what kind of coverage they're going to get, and they're able to manipulate kind of the middle of the field players by sending Zach and Terry across the formation. And that just draws everybody up. Diami from the outside runs right at his guy in this quarter's coverage, runs across the back line, bang, bang. Touchdown. Jaden finds him. And thank God he didn't get hurt on that hit by Yaya Diaby low.
Yeah.
But he just absolutely rips this thing, and it's beautiful design for the touchdown.
Yeah, this is like Skinner with a cross. So Skinner's like double post, and then you bring the cross across. So, like, to me, this is like a little tight even to run this. Like, I would probably want to be at the 15-yard line. But I think to your point, like, it is tight, but like, you get Zach running across. He takes care of the backside safety. It looks like it's kind of some type of cover six, maybe. And then Terry comes across, and you're really trying to get the ball to Terry, probably, right? Because you're expecting those two quarters players to get depth with the two posts.
Right. But, so you're looking for Terry at the front of the end zone, but because they jump Terry, Diami's open at the back of the end zone.
Right, and great job by Diami, like, kind of rounding through there, finding the spot. And then the other thing you got to just point out here, and the O-line had a rough day running the football. There are certain drives and plays in this game where they're excellent in pass protection.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. And the other thing I want to point out here too is Todd Bowles has been a blitzing fool this entire game, but there were certain third downs where they just didn't do it. And I think they're worried about Jaden Daniels scrambling. They're really like, we're like, you're going to spy the quarterback. We're going to be really aware.
Yep.
And it hurt Jaden as a scrambler, but it allowed the protection to shore up real nice, and it allowed him to find throws down the field. Even the touchdown to Terry later in the game, same type of thing. They don't blitz. He's in there kind of, he works through like a full field progression. Great job by the O-line winning their one-on-ones. And this is a great example of that too. So, you know, even though the O-line is kind of going to be much maligned for the lack of running success, I thought there were some moments in this game where there were some like Philadelphia versus Green Bay level pockets where it's like, it's wide, it's deep, there's a ton of space. He's really got a chance to survey the field. So great job by them. Great job by Jaden. And again, this goes back to the other thing. The first point of the conversation is making good decisions from the quarterback spot. Like, this is an excellent decision. Like, you could have rushed this and forced the ball to Terry, but you let it distribute. There's no pressure. Let it happen. Great throw. Great job. Great execution. And really just shows you every detail that's required for them to possess the football the way they do and score points. And to me, this is the formula, right? We got to be a little bit aggressive on fourth down. We got to be excellent on third down. We got to find alternative ways to run the football. And they did a great job of that. Great job by Cliff. Great job by Jaden. And really great job by everybody execution. Like, we talked about the O-line on this play. There's the screen where OZ has the great block. Like, it takes everybody to have drives like this. And I really think this shows kind of the overall offensive performance. Like, you got big, big moments from players that had to step up, like Diami, big catch on this drive, and just great job.
100%. And, you know, this is also, again, the 17th play of the drive. That pass rush is tired, and they're not getting any help because there's no blitz. And there's times that, that Tampa's only rushing three because they got two dudes spying on Jaden. Like, it is the effect he has on a defense as a scrambler and the danger that he is seen as is immense. And I only think that Lamar Jackson gets this treatment otherwise. Like, it is just a rare and special thing. And because Lamar has gotten to where he is as a passer, like, you see what kind of season he has, 4,900, 40 plus touchdowns again. Like, that's the trajectory that Jaden is hopefully on and certainly seems to be on. He's ahead of where Lamar was when he came out. Now, that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to reach the same ceiling Lamar has. But like, this, When you have this kind of time and face these kinds of coverages, you can do more as an offense because there's just certain things you don't have to deal with because defenses are basically scared of you. And it was really cool to watch, and I think this drive illustrated it well. Real quick, to just wrap up the rest of the offense outside of the running game, we'll have a distinct running game discussion in a second. But anything else from Jaden's day or the offense passing-wise writ large that you wanted to point out?
just the composure of the whole group, really. You know, like his composure, his decision making, it was top shelf. You know, and again, like in a game where he couldn't run the football, we couldn't run the football, the team couldn't run the football. That was something that really stood out to me in a playoff game versus a good physical, fast defense. The composure you showed, and it gives you faith that, you know, again, we're going to talk about Detroit later this week, but in a bigger game like that, if you can have a couple drives like that, if you can take the possessions from 12 to 8 and you score touchdowns instead of field goals and limit their possessions and force their offense to be perfect, you got a shot. And I wasn't sure if he'd be able to do that, quite frankly, coming in this game, because it's a big ask. It's a huge ask for a young player. But to see it executed here, I thought was, again, it's a testament to him. The O-line, the receivers, everybody's locked in and executing at a high level. Cliff Kingsbury, everybody. So really a very special performance for sure.
Yeah, Cliff, Anthony Lynn, everybody on that staff. I mean, probably some people, some names that I don't even know in terms of the advanced scouts. They were really on top of some stuff that Tampa was going to try to do situationally. And they did a really good job of using that information to put some defenders in conflict, running guys off of each other, certain screen calls. Like, there's just a bunch of stuff in this game where you're like, that is the right call for that defense. And they seem to know what was coming a lot. And I feel like that's happened a lot this year. Of course, they've faced some unscouted looks and some different things that happens every week, but across the NFL. But their scouting this year has been tremendous. And I think this was a game where that showed off for sure.